Hey ho, Ramones fans, and welcome to another episode of the Pinhead Pod. This show is available on all major podcast platforms and is also all over social media. It's pretty much on all of those platforms. Just search for Pinhead Pod. This episode's guest is Michael Cooper, who is the singer in the Ramones tribute band The Hymens. That interview is coming up in just a bit. Before we get there, we do have some history for the Ramones for October. Let's start with October 1st, 1984, the album Too Tough to Die was released. It was recorded in July of 1984 at Media Sound Studios in New York. It was released by Sire Records. It was the first studio album to feature Richie Ramone on the drums. The cover features a photo of the band in a tunnel in Central Park taken by George Dubois. The album was critically well received, but only reached 171 on the U.S. Billboard 200. On October 8, 1948, Johnny Ramone was born. He was born John William Cummings in Queens, New York. He was an only child and was raised in the Forest Hills neighborhood of Queens. October 8, 1965, C.J. Ramone was born. He was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York, but he lived in Deer Park, New York the majority of his childhood. October 13, 1947, Arturo Vega was born. He was born Eduardo Arturo Vega in Chihuahua, Mexico. He was a graphic designer most known for designing the Ramones' presidential seal logo. He became close friends with Didi Ramone and attended all but a handful of the Ramones' shows. All right, there you have it. Just a few dates, no news this month. Kind of brief, so let's get right to it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have my guest for this episode, Michael Cooper.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams.
And welcome back to the Pinhead Pod. At this time, I'm being joined with Michael Cooper, a member of the Ramones tribute band, The Hymens. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very, very good. I guess I should say not just a member, but you're the singer, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So what goes into preparing for a project like this? What do you study about Joey Ramone to do this?
Oh, man, just the footage in my head, mostly. The endless hours of Ramone's footage I've consumed since I was about 13, 14 years old. I watch all different eras of Joey, because for the Hymens, we don't have like a specific set that we do. We kind of cover it all from like the first album to Adios Amigos.
Okay.
So I kind of take his traits from all his eras and try to make them my own.
Yeah. Yeah. And from some of the pictures. So I have seen pictures where you have a wig. In pictures where you don't. What is that? Do you start with the wig and then at some point it ends up going, or?
That's kind of our shtick. We do like the first 5 to 10 songs nonstop in the wigs, and then at some point I just turn around, take mine off, and reach for everybody's, and then it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Because we play a lot, and mostly, in fact, exclusively, I think we've only played in and around New Haven, Connecticut area.
Okay.
And we've all been in different bands, and a lot of the people who come see us know us as, you know, as the guys from those bands that we played in. So
yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. I'm fascinated by tribute bands, right? Because there's tribute bands out there for virtually everybody.
Right.
And how does one come to do a tribute band? I mean, you said you were doing other, but so were you all doing your own things and then knew each other and decided, let's do this Ramones thing? Or how does that work? How does that process, or how did it work for you at least?
Yeah. So, the guys in the band I've been friends with just, you know, forever, 25 years or so, maybe more. It's hard to keep track. We were in bands around 20 years ago that would play gigs together. I had a band called the Defcon 5, and the other guys all had a band called Puckish. And they were kind of like a catchy kind of pop punk, if you will. And my band had broken up, and we just started just for our own entertainment, really, started doing cover band, like put together like a cover band and just playing like odd gigs at this bar, Rudy's, in downtown New Haven. And we were called Live Mike and the Strutters. And then one year for Halloween, this was in 2005. Myself and the guys were just like, well, let's just do a bunch of Ramon songs and dress as the Ramones. And I don't know who came up with the name, the Hymens. It might've been me because I'm kind of like the Ramones trivia nerd.
Which obviously, right, is it a nod to Joey's real name, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we played our first show on Halloween. I think it was actually Halloween night, 2005. And it sucked. We were really, we drank a lot that night. It was a pretty cool show. Dr. Frank from the Mr. T Experience played with us.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool bill, and we just blew it. Like, we were just not up to it. And, we've been playing occasional gigs ever since then, and just getting tighter and tighter and better and better.
Yeah. That very much reminds me. I've always been a fan of the Black Crowes, and they used to have this thing where if they played a gig on Halloween night, they would dress up and open their own show. Like one year they all dressed up as Elvis and called themselves Jelly, quote unquote, Jelly Donuts, and did like three Elvis songs to open for their own show. I think they did like Elvis, AC/DC, and I seem like there was one other. I can't remember now though. But they did that for a few. That's a pretty cool thing. Going back then, when did you first discover the Ramones?
So I was anticipating this question, and it's kind of hard to pin down. I guess it kind of starts like when I was in, I want to say, seventh grade. So I'm 45. This would have been in 1993. So probably when Acid Eaters or Mondo Bizarro was out. A friend of mine went to a tag sale in Bethany, Connecticut. It was this rural place in Connecticut, about 20 minutes from New Haven. And some cool teenager must have died or found God or something, because there were all these cool cassette tapes at the tag sale. One of them was Livage by the Descendants, and Leave Home by the Ramones. And he bought the tapes. He listened to them and eventually just gave them to me. And that was like my introduction to punk, really.
Yeah.
And also at around the same time, my cousin, who's about 15 years older than me, she's was the front, the lead singer of a band called the Botswanas, who had a lot of notoriety in around New Haven and in New York, and they toured Europe and stuff. And she got me into punk, and she had a few Ramones albums in her collection, along with like the New York Dolls and T-Rex and all that stuff. And that was kind of the basis. And I remember staying up late one night, and it must have been 120 minutes on MTV. And I remember seeing the video for "I Want to Be Sedated" and just thinking, God, these guys, look at these guys.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I love it.
Yeah. It is funny. Like, it's right. Cause it's hard for me to also pinpoint that first, right? Cause it's just like, they were just like there. It was like, I was listening to just a little bit of everything, right? I was playing in bands and whatever. It's like, I don't know. They were just one of those bands in the mix that it seemed like everybody knew at that time. I don't know. It's very peculiar, right? And I would always siphon through my dad's record collection, right? And he had some Ramones records. And I just thought they were another rock band, just like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. All those things just kind of happened, like, within, like, a month, like, going through my cousin's records and, you know, seeing them on MTV and the tag sale. And then I saved my money to buy a cassette copy of Ramones Mania. And I've been hooked ever since. It's been a lifelong obsession.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously, right, had to impact you pretty deeply and become an important aspect of your life, right? To run to do this in a tribute act, right? You don't just, I guess you don't join a tribute act or do a tribute act for someone that you have a passing interest in. I mean,
right. Yeah. No. And it's like the Ramones really are one of the few bands, like, I know every single song in their catalog, like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
You know, even like the filler tracks on Halfway to Sanity, you know, it's
Well, you said, now tell us, you said you were doing some things prior to the Hymens. So what was that? I mean, what was that like? What was your musical background like prior to that? What kind of music were you playing? What kind of bands
Were you into, you said you, right, you discovered punk this way. Did, when you discovered punk, did it kind of consume you?
Oh yeah. I was one of those insufferable teenagers who, just went out of their way to avoid anything that was mainstream. If anything was mainstream or like popular with the kids at my school, I by default just hated it and, sought out, all the bands that were mentioned in the Ramones Mania liner notes or every band in like a SST Records catalog. Yeah, it consumed me. We had a really great club here in New Haven called the Tune In, and every weekend I would go down there, and there'd be like a hardcore matinee, there'd be a punk show, there'd be like a ska show every single weekend and throughout the week. And yeah, that's just kind of, that just kind of ran my life for a very long time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how each person's perspective on this stuff. I mean, because I remember, because I'm a little older than you, not a whole lot. I'm 50, but it's like I remember being in middle school and I had my thing where I was super into Zeppelin for a while, right? And at that time, nobody knew Zeppelin. It wasn't a thing like it is now. And I remember getting made fun of for wearing Zeppelin shirts and listening. And it seems so peculiar now. But it's almost like I was digging into this stuff. I was digging into weird stuff in my dad's record collection, like you said, that people weren't listening to just because. It's like I wanted to be the guy who knew a little more than everybody else,
Yeah.
and if it caught on, I was like, ah, it's like I listened to Nirvana when Bleach came out, and I loved Nevermind, but when it got huge, I was like, now everybody knows them. It's like
It's funny how
I
you
gotta
are when you're
find something
younger.
now. Yeah, it's like. And it's weird because it's like the same thing with Green Day, right? I mean, I was listening to Green Day because I picked up, some of their EPs and stuff, and I went and saw them when Dookie, right before Dookie came out,
Sure.
and then they exploded, and I was like, oh man, I don't know. It's like you, it's like, I mean, I'm not one of those guys who doesn't want success for these bands, but it's almost like you feel a little, I don't know, you feel a little deflated because it's like the thing you like now suddenly everybody likes it. And you're like, I always felt like, well, now I got to find something else.
Yeah, you get possessive of it. Like e even like amongst the kids that I was friends with when, back in middle school and high school, like that were like into punk and stuff. Like even amongst them, I had to be like, I had this urge to be different. They were all into like the new stuff, like the new hardcore and ska and everything. I
Yeah.
was like digging backwards. I was trying to figure find the MC5 and the Stooges
Yeah,
and
me too. Yeah, that's yeah, completely. And it's like, I don't know. It was like, I don't know. I hate gatekeeping, right? When people gatekeep stuff. But I was never that guy where it's like, oh, I don't want you to listen to it. But it was like, if too many people listen, I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to move on to something. I'm going to find something different. And,
I definitely used to be that guy.
yeah. And
With
it's,
age, I've mellowed out and,
yeah.
just gotten some perspective and,
Yeah, me too. Now I'm like, oh man, I like this. I wish it would get big enough to come to my town. It's
Yeah,
like
it's for everybody.
now I want them to have. I mean, it's like, I can't find them on Spotify. Come on, I need
Yeah,
you to get more popular.
I look back at like my at my I don't know what you want to call it, my taste and the way I went about it, and it's like I totally cringe,
I know, me too. I completely dug for what people didn't know, because I wanted to be that wacky guy who knew weird stuff and was, I had so many bands like that I went through phases of, I discovered them, I fell in love with them, but then when everybody else caught on, I was like, now I don't, okay, I don't, it's not that I don't like them, but I don't see them the same. And you talked about that you're very familiar, right? You know the catalog, you said. Do you have a favorite song to perform?
I think, well, I got two favorite songs that I mean they're non-negotiables as far as I'm concerned for our set. We do a version of Danny Says
Oh, yeah, okay.
and Fonzo Goes to Bitburg, and I think they're like that usually back to back in our set, and those are maybe my two, if not two of my favorite Ramon songs.
Yeah, good choices. Yeah, that's a so you guys, right? I mean, give me an idea. How often do you guys play? How often do you get to play? I mean, you would think this is a very niche market to book a tribute band, and once you play somewhere, you would think it would have to take a while before they would consider bringing you back.
We really only play a few times a year. I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years, like almost to the day. There have been years where we played, maybe a dozen shows, and then around the time I have twins. When they were born, like I just kind of like ducked out, and when they were babies, and
Yeah.
didn't do a whole lot. And then I forgot what kind of rekindled it. But now last year we probably played about five shows. This year, we have a show coming up on Friday that's really our only show of 2025. So it's kind of like a rare treat for us to play, and hopefully for the people that come out to see us,
Yeah.
something for them to look forward to that they haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, so how do those, I mean, do you guys like seek bookings? Or do people seek you where it's like, are they looking for a remote? I mean, the whole, I've never been really went to a lot of tribute act shows or been, so I don't know. I mean, how does that work? Do they like, oh, we're looking to do a Ramones tribute night, come play for us? Or is it a combination of the two? Is it just,
Yeah, a lot of our shows we've been asked to play. We guitar player owns a bar. I'm a teacher. And our bass player and drummer have like really busy work schedules. So we always talk about this. Like, we always want to be more proactive with booking, and reach out to more places and bigger venues, and maybe even take it on the road. But then, life always gets in the way.
sure.
But
Yeah.
we've been pretty lucky. We know a lot of people who, own the venues around here,
Yeah.
or book shows around here, really. And we get asked. The show that we're playing on Friday is with this really awesome, fun band called the Miss Smiths. You can imagine what they're all about.
Yeah.
We played with them last year. We were asked to play that show. Our buddy Joaquin books a lot of punk shows around the area. And this year we saw that they were coming back. So we were like, Joaquin, please, please, please put us on the show again. We had so much fun.
Yeah, I gotta. Okay, what do you teach?
I teach art, visual arts.
Okay, what grade are you, like a high school? I'm assuming that's a high school level then, right?
Middle school, really.
Middle school. So are your students aware that you're a musician, that you're in a band, that you sing?
Up until a couple years ago, they were aware that I was into music, because on the last day of school, myself and a couple other teachers would, at our last day of school assembly, we'd get together and like just rock out some songs, and Blitzkrieg Bop was always in our set.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they don't. I highly doubt if let's put it this way: if my students from this year and last year knew that I was in a band, it would probably blow some of their minds.
Sure. I think you have to be careful when they get a little older. It's because it's funny, because I was going to ask you, because like the Ramones have really reached this really incredible level within pop culture now. And I mean, they're probably more popular than they ever were when they were together, when they were a band, when they were touring.
Sure.
Do you think sometimes, I mean, do you think you sometimes benefit from, I mean, obviously, right? If the Ramones were not still a popular thing, you wouldn't get booked. How much do you think that ongoing, that growth impacts you getting these gigs and people looking for you?
Yeah, like all great art, well, most great art, or some great art, it becomes more appreciated
Yes.
posthumously, and the
Yes.
legend grows. And kids, there's always going to be kids getting into punk. At least I think there's always going to be kids getting into
Oh,
punk,
I hope. I hope.
and yeah, and the Ramones, especially their first four albums or so, are like ground zero. I mean, that's
Sure.
really like require like you're required listening. And I think that just like the myth of the Ramones, and like the documentaries that have come out over the years, like really kind of feed that. And it's just it's just like a necessary part of at least from my perspective of appreciating music, just like the sublime simplicity of the Ramones. I think it's just so easily accessible.
Oh man, I think as a teacher, you're gonna have to be careful, because I sense, or when I see online, and again, I'm an older guy, I'm not, maybe I'm not as in touch, But it seems like maybe that Ramon's audience is getting younger and younger all the time. And you never know when one of those middle schoolers are into the Ramones and they're doing a search and they come across Mr. Cooper.
Well,
Well, I guess
there
the
was I.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now that I think about it, there was like I used to teach summer courses, like summer drawing courses, and there was one student who was into punk rock, and he was probably about 9 years old. And him and his mom came to see us when we did like this outdoor festival in New Haven, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
So you're very, I'm assuming then from what you're saying, you're a very artistically inclined person, right? You're an art teacher.
Yeah.
You sing in a band. Do you play any instruments, even dabble in them?
Yeah. I've been in bands where I played bass. I play guitar. But I decided that one day I just liked having the microphone in my hand. But the band that I probably had together the longest, the band the Defcon 5. We go on like little mini tours out of state and stuff, and I just liked having the microphone in my hand and having control of the crowd. So yeah, just an extension of my creative spirit, I guess.
Yeah, so and it's wild because when people think that punk mentality, right? They think music, but that punk mentality applies anywhere. I mean, and pretty much any profession that do it yourself attitude, that motivation. And do you ever apply some of those punk motivations, that punk mentality to your art and your art teaching? I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not an artist, so I don't know how that would adapt over. But do you ever find yourself dipping into that do it yourself, that don't be held down by that punk mentality
Without a
and
doubt. I mean, that's part of my teaching philosophy is like just, seek your perfection. Don't try to please others. Kids naturally want to ask if their artwork is good. They'll say, "Mr. Cooper, is this good? Do you like it?" And my response is, "It doesn't matter what I think. Hold it up. Do you like it?" And that type of philosophy has just kind of always followed me with everything. Don't seek perfection. Seek your truth. Seek what matters to you.
it's so weird because I get caught up in that a lot with music when I talk with people, because music people talk about what they like, what they enjoy, and they quote unquote what's good. And I'm like, well, how do you what's your values for what's good? It's all subjective.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if somebody likes something that I don't like, I okay, that's fine. I don't understand. I have a hard time understanding a lot of that. I don't know, that anger and mentality of that goes into art and music. And since it's such a subjective thing on why, what I like may not be what you like, and that's okay. And what I see may not be what you see, and that's okay. That's part of it. And I find all of that very, very punk rock, just whatever, see your truth, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is context and perspective.
Right,
Um,
yeah. Yeah.
um, I I I spent this past weekend visiting my nephew up in New Hampshire at his college, and I was driving around. I figured, oh, I'm gonna put on some music in the car. He's gonna blow his mind, and I put on Funhouse by the Stooges, and just
Yeah.
no reaction, right? So, I mean, if you don't have like the proper context to these type of things, the significance is gets kind of lost. I could
Yeah.
see somebody listening, someone who's really into Emerson, Lake and Palmer or the Grateful Dead or something, and hearing the Ramones, like a kid for the first time being like, what is this? This is stupid. Like this sounds like garbage.
Yeah.
It's all contextual.
It is well, and I went the other way, right? Because my dad had a very diverse music past, but the time I was born, my parents were very into country music, right? And that's what I heard, right? When I rode around with him on the radio, and I was like, whatever. And then it's like digging through his albums, and I would pull out like an MC5 or a Stooges, and I'm like, what is this? This and I'm like, and then it was all the dad, why do you own this? It's like, how are you the way you are when you once listened to this? And I don't know, it's funny how that goes. So tell me, I am still fascinated by this world of tribute band, right? Because tribute bands are kind of regional, right? There's a lot of Ramones tribute bands, and like you said, right, you kind of stick in that New Haven, that Northeast area, and I think that's maybe true across the board, right? Everybody kind of sticks in their area a lot of times. But have you ever, I don't know, seen, encountered, maybe even just seen online, any other tribute acts, something that was very, very odd, or peculiar to you?
It's funny. I don't often seek out going to tribute shows a lot. There's a Smiths cover band. They're called the Smiths Tribute NYC, and they come around all the time. And I find myself getting really critical of them. I don't know if this is if it's anything that is like unique that pops out to me, but I find myself getting really critical, and then I start thinking like, well, if someone's watching the Hymens and they see us pulling off our wigs and stuff and, you know, just being ourselves, how does this read? But I don't often, I don't really go to too many tribute shows. Part of it is because like I don't really want to see another Ramones tribute band that would like feed or influence my performance or like what we do. But there are like the dudes on Facebook that I've met that have tribute bands in like the Midwest. There's that band Sedated out of Chicago. I'm friends with one or two of those guys, and you know, around here, of course, I'd want. Oops, I'm around here, of course, I'd want to you know, go see them. But they you know, they do it in a we're doing the same thing, but they do it differently. I don't know if that makes sense.
But I know they're, I mean, they're obviously, they're huge in like, you know, South America and in Europe and things, right? Where that's where the Ramones obviously had a little more success when they were together.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
the tribute band thing is huge in those areas. And you see a lot of, even in like in Japan and stuff. And you know, you said you know, you guys have done some shows and you've been out there. Have you ever experienced anything kind of crazy at a show? Has anybody, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think I've ever really seen a tribute band, so I'm trying to get a grasp on this. Are the shows, are they pretty mellow? People just kind of sit there and like enjoy? Do people get caught up in the moment? Does anything go, you know, out of hand? Have you ever experienced anything kind of crazy at any of these shows?
We've had some shows where people have kind of lost their shit, you know, you know, if it's the right crowd, and they've had enough to drink, I
There you
guess,
go. There you go.
they get really into it. I've had times, I think, where somebody was so eager to sing the songs and grab the mic out of my hand and sing a verse, and you know, there's been times where, you know, I've crowd surfed while
You
singing
go.
like Carbona Not Glue or whatever. And other times it's just like it can be mellow. It depends on the crowd size and the vibe. And we always have a good time when we play. There's a few places in New Haven. There's a bar called Three Sheets and a place called Cafe Nine, where we've had some pretty wild nights and some pretty tame ones.
Well, and I would imagine, right? You mentioned it, right? You're a family man. You're right. You're a father. You're a teacher. Being in a Ramones tribute band, though, if the situation were to rise, would have to be quite the conversation starter for you. Have you ever, you know, pulled that out while in a social setting and just had to whip out? Oh yeah, by the way, you know, I'm in the Hymens and I sing Joy Ramone song or Ramone songs.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually I get kind of sheepish around it. You know, there's kind of like a There's kind of like a, I've always felt like there was a kind of like a stigma in being like in a tribute band as opposed to like being in like a punk band that like writes their own songs and everything. You know, around here, everybody kind of knows who we are and like what bands we've been in and stuff. Like I never introduce myself as like, oh, I'm, you know, I play Joey Ramone in a Ramones cover band. I usually kind of let people figure that out on their own.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever received, quote unquote, some heat for being in a cover band or a tribute band like that? Like you said, you know, there is maybe a stigma. I mean, have you received some negativity for that ever?
No, I bet you know, it's all in my head because when I was a lot younger, I kind of thought tribute bands were lame.
Right.
Although I would have loved to have seen a Ramones tribute band. No, I've never gotten any heat.
Okay. Oh, I mean, you know, what is, you know, I mean, like me first and the Gimme Gimme, what are they but a cover band?
Exactly.
I mean, come on. You know, there is a vein for that, right? But it's weird because you do fit a need, right? I mean, because especially like with the Ramones, like we've mentioned, the audience, the fandom does get younger and younger, and they've crossed this level of I think they're always going to be a thing, right? They're always going to be have this level of popularity. Obviously, they can't see the band anymore. What's the next best thing is, well, you know, we're going to go see a tribute band, and if they're in your area, I mean, you're filling that need where at least for a night they can go and let go, hear the songs they love, and have a good time.
And you know what? That's kind of the way I feel about the Smiths tribute band that I mentioned. I'm never going to see the Smiths. I'm
Yeah.
not going to pay to see Morrissey anymore.
Yeah.
I'll go see them.
Yeah. So you mentioned this is coming out October 1st. You did mention you had an upcoming gig this Friday, which I believe is after the first. You want to tell us a little bit about that, if
Okay,
just
yeah,
in case
sure.
anybody's in the area.
So it's going to be a fun show. It's at a really great venue called The Cellar on Treadwell. It's like a bar and music venue that's just like right in the middle of an industrial p park in Hamden, Connecticut.
Gotcha.
And it's been a venue for decades, but it's changed owners and changed names. And they have some really great shows there. And we're playing with a band that's on tour right now from California called the Miss Smiths. And they're obviously a mashup of the Smiths and the Misfits, two bands that I'm really passionate about loving. I don't know how to articulate just how much fun they are to see. Even their videos on YouTube don't give their live show justice. And they're really nice guys. And I'm just looking forward to playing with them again and really just seeing them again. They do a lot of like comedy, like kind of like skits. I know I'm not selling this well, but there's like comedic bits in throughout their set, and it's just a good time. And the other band that's playing, I've never seen before. They're called Soldiers. I think spelled Soulgyres, I think. But I know that they're kind of like a reggae, I think
Okay.
ska band from around here, but they're doing an all Operation Ivy set.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, get out there. You know, this is, I mean, it's the only chance you're going to get to hear, you know, a Ramones based show. I mean, it's not going to happen, right? And I would think, you know, again, I don't know any of the Ramones or any, you know, never knew any of them, but I would think they would chuckle and think it's kind of humorous that people are out there doing tribute bands to them.
Yeah, some of them would. I can
I
only I can hear Johnny saying,
yeah,
"What
he
is
might,
this shit?"
yeah, he might think, you know, you're taking money out of his pocket, but you know, but whatever. And yeah, so how can listeners then follow the Hymans and keep up with you? I know you said when we were discussing beforehand, there is another band apparently called the Hymans. So you have to have kind of a unique handle on social media. So how can people follow you and keep track of what you guys are up to?
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook where our page is called the Hymans New Haven or the Hymans parentheses New Haven. I forget exactly how it's formatted, but I'm sure if you just search the Hymans New Haven will come up. You can follow us on Instagram. We have videos and stuff. You can search us on YouTube. Our videos are kind of few and far between. We should really do something about
There you
that.
go. Yeah.
Eventually I've been talking about it with John, our bass player. One thing I really want to do one of these days is get into the studio and record our own version of Subterranean Jungle, which I think is a really underrated album, but I just hate the way the drums sound and the instrumentation sounds on that. And I think that would be a fun thing to do, is just knock out that album and hand it out at shows as kind of like a demo. Because I always loved how, like, in the 90s, like, you'd have like Screeching Weasel and the Queers and Boris the Sprinkler cover entire albums by the Ramones.
As I'll say, lots of people have done that in the past. And yeah, that'd be a cool project. I 100% support that. And be a very cool thing. And I guess we should give a shout out to our mutual friend Rick Del Santo, who he kind of made me aware of the Hymens and you, and kind of said you were a good guy and everything else, and it kind of helped make this happen.
Well, Rick's a good guy too. I should also give a shout out to him for turning me onto a lot of great music when
He
I was
is.
younger. He's about 4 or 5 years older than me, and he would make me mixtapes with all kinds of great bands. I wouldn't have half the taste I would if I didn't know him when I was younger.
And I did want to always dip my toes into the tribute band thing. I know there's an author who actually did a whole book about tribute bands, around the world, and what that means to the Ramones legacy. So it is a fascinating part of the Ramones, and keeping that spirit alive, right? And it just shows the magnitude of the band, right? I mean, not everybody gets tribute bands, especially not to this level. So that just shows the
Well, they're the perfect
impact.
storm. The look, the sound, the leather jackets, the jeans, the hair.
They are. I mean, everything that early on a lot of people knocked them for, right? That they were cartoony and everything else, right? You heard a lot of there was a lot of negative about that early in their careers, kind of became the selling point for that longevity, right? It was that you knew what you were going to get with the Ramones. You knew when you bought a Ramones album what you were getting, when you saw the Ramones what you were getting. Kind of like AC/DC, right? They didn't change the formula much.
Nope.
And so you could rely on that. And but it's bands like you guys and everything else that are out there kind of keeping alive and giving people, especially particularly young fans that don't have that opportunity, never had that opportunity, would have had that opportunity to get some form of a live experience to have it. And I think that's cool. I think it's pretty crucial and a lot of fun. So if anybody's in that area, you like you said, you've got the show coming up. What is that? The third?
Yeah, Friday
The
night the
third.
third.
Oh, the third. Okay. So check that out if you're in that area, and follow you guys on social media, on YouTube, whatever else, and see if what's coming up in the future. You said you guys don't venture out very often, but it's not an impossibility, correct? I mean, the right opportunity came, you never
If
know.
opportunity knocked, we will take it.
There you go.
Yeah, so if anyone listening to this wants the Hymens from New Haven, Connecticut, come play your club. We'll do it.
There you go. Well, I'm down in Florida, and there's a place here that books a lot of tribute acts, and I don't ever see a Ramones tribute act come through. So who knows? Maybe someday, the Hymens could pass through Pensacola, and I could check you guys out.
Yeah.
But Mike, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, and like I said, I'm not real familiar with this tribute band world, and it's fascinating to me to venture into it. And I don't know, man. I can see that world, right? I can see being such a fan of somebody that you want to be a part of that, right? And then it's pretty fascinating to me. It's pretty incredible. And again, I hope a lot of people are seeing you guys and having fun that maybe didn't get to experience the Ramones, right? This is the way you get to kind of feel a little bit of the spirit.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the Ramones, and you also get Mike, Kevin, John, and Bobby after the wigs come off.
There you go.
So,
There you go. So, all right. Well, thank you for joining me. And again, again down the road, we can talk some more, because I would like to dive deeper into this world of tribute acts. I want to talk to the I can't remember his name, but the author of that book, and dive into it. So maybe we can retouch down the road and discuss a little more, because like I said, it's a very fascinating aspect of not just the Ramones, but a lot of acts. But obviously, we focus on the Ramones here. So, but thank you for your time and coming on and talking to me about this wild world of
Oh,
Ramones tribute acts.
it's been a pleasure. I feel honored to be here.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, and thank you to Michael for coming on and talking to us a bit about what it's like to be in a tribute band, particularly a Ramones tribute band. The next episode of the show, guys, will be available November 1st. The guests will be announced soon on social media. So once again, make sure you're following Pinhead Pod on those platforms to hear what the next guest will be. Thank you to all you listeners and followers. Be sure to tell your friends and fellow Ramones fans all about the podcast and help us to grow. Be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, plus leave us a rating and review if possible. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. Once again, we're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Pinhead Pod. Be sure to share our posts and help the podcast audience grow. You can also give us feedback, suggestions, tell us your Ramones stories, share pictures, etc. on those platforms. Guys, thank you for joining me yet again for another fun episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Once again, Pinhead Pod will be back November 1st for another episode. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and gabba gabba hey.